Maybe seated. John R. Keith Overton against the Commonwealth. The appellant has waived oral argument. Ms. Bourne, how are you doing today?
Fine, thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Rosemary Bourne on behalf of the appellee of the Commonwealth of Virginia. I've addressed most of my arguments on brief. I'm happy to answer any questions the court has. Simply put, this was not a void. This is a sentence that was a void sentence, and because it was not a void sentence and there was no objection made under Abdo, this argument was waived.
What authority did the trial court have without suspending, without imposing post-release time that could be suspended to put a good behavior on something with no time hanging over somebody's head?
Well, Your Honor, it may not be an enforceable. I mean, there may be nothing to enforce here, but that's a separate question from whether this can be reached, because it can only be reached since there was not an objection if it was a void sentence, and it was not a void sentence because under Abdo we're talking about periods of imprisonment, and there's no period of imprisonment here.
Well, I think all of those cases always dealt with a period of imprisonment situation. It's void if it's ultra vires, and so I'm asking what is the authority for the trial court to have done this. I think I agree with you that ultimately it makes no difference because there's no punishment that can be imposed if he violates the good behavior on that one. It runs concurrently with the other two. But what is the authority for the trial court to have imposed any type of condition?
Well, I mean, I think that the court has inherent authority to impose conditions.
Well, the problem is, as of last week, we know that the minimum is also the maximum on this particular offense.
Well, that's absolutely true.
There's nothing the court could have done to suspend execution of any part of the sentence. So to put him on good behavior as a condition of that is one of two things. It's either a nullity or it's a clerical error that, in the long run, as Judge Russell points out, doesn't affect this guy at all because he's not going to serve one day more or less than he would have otherwise.
Well, could you use it, though, because he's got plenty of other time hanging over him, as a standard in considering whether he did something improper under those other sentences that are suspended?
Well, and in addition, you know, it did occur to me, although I'm not sure that this is really a legitimate argument, but or the best argument, but that while he's in jail, he certainly can be in good behavior while he's there. I'm not sure it was specifically noted that it was upon his release.
Well, would that mean that the 20 years of good behavior on the, I believe, the abduction conviction?
I think that there's case law.
Well, right, but if we're going with a theory that it runs while he's in jail, then the 20 years of good behavior on the one and the 5 years on the good behavior on the other also run in jail, and so when he gets out,
I'm not seriously making that argument.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't know what the court
why wouldn't it make sense for us simply to remand this matter to the circuit court to correct the sentencing order? Because to the extent that it imposes a term of good behavior on a sentence that can't be suspended in whole or in part, it's clearly something that's got to be, fixed, it seems to me.
Well, I mean, the reason is because there was no objection made below, and he waived his objection. It's not a void sentence. I mean, that's the reason.
Well, okay, but that goes back to my question. It's a void sentence if the court didn't have the power to impose it. What's the power for the court to impose it?
I would say that the court had the inherent authority, and under, I believe, 295, to impose it. Now, he didn't have the authority to give extra suspended time. I would concede that. But that's not what he did. I mean, the court can impose all kinds of conditions. No contact.
But conditions for what? It's conditions for suspended sentence. That's what the court has the authority to do.
I mean, the court could say, you violated my court order, I'm going to hold you in contempt. I don't know that there has to be a suspended sentence.
Well, right,
they're accompanying
those. But the court can't just enter an order without some authority and then hold you in contempt for violating it. It has to have the authority to enter the order in the first place.
Well, and I would say that we know that the court has the authority to enter conditions, not necessarily with a suspended sentence, but to order someone who's been convicted of something not to have any contact with someone. And if they do, then they can hold them in contempt. I mean, again, I don't know what the court was thinking. I tend to agree with this court that it was probably a clerical error, though he certainly said it at the time of trial and in the order, and there was no objection. And given that, my position is that it is not a void order. Based on the recent case law, it does not fit that definition of a void order, and there was no objection at the time. It could have asked to come back for a motion to reconsider sentence. Any number of things could have happened that didn't. And so, because it's not a void order and because there's unlikely to be any consequence, there is simply nothing for this court to fix, and I would ask that you affirm.
Okay. We will come down to Greek Council, and the court will be adjourned. That completes our docket.